Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We're in mid-March. You get a little taste of spring, and then wham, winter came back just like that. So still got some buddies that are doing a little ice fishing in northern Michigan.
The skinny guys.
Yeah, they're skinny guys, right. Yeah, but anyway, I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. You are listening to Grilling Guys. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, it is, and we're excited to be here. It's the weekend, so it's like the best time of the week. You can forget about work unless you're in the retail business or law enforcement or military. In that case, you know what your job is. But we do enjoy our weekends. We like getting our grills fired up, our smokers, deep fryers, whatever we're going to do. And this show today is going to be really cool. So get a cup of coffee, sit back, and get ready for all sorts of cool stuff. We're going to talk all about turkey hunting and gun safety. Since guns are in the news so much right now and all the crazies are, you know, rattling their cages, we thought we'd just talk about all the normal people out there and the safe people that have guns and own and operate them properly.
Yeah. So what'd you do this week?
I just worked my little keister off, you know, trying to get that carrier banner out across America.
Right.
But I wanted to talk a little bit about what I got to do after we're done here this morning.
What's that?
I'm going to go home and I'm going to put together my Silverback from Grilla. It's a smoker from Holland, Michigan.
That's Grilla.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir. And my old buddy Mark Graham runs that show over there, and he sent me a note saying he wants a review. He's had it reviewed by a person or two. One of them's a chef that's making all his sauces.
Okay.
And so I said, yeah, I'd be happy to. I haven't used a pellet grill since for a year, probably, since I gave you that one.
Well,
so.
Well, let me tell you a little pellet grill story, and it ties in with the guns, because there is a barbecue competition company out there called Smokin' Guns, and they make a barbecue powder called gun powder. So it's Smokin' Guns barbecue powder.
Nice.
And but I use that on a pretty regular basis.
Really?
I get it over at Sobey Meats. It's got a little bit of heat to it, but just a really good flavor. And our friends at Squirrel Barbecue are the ones that turned me on to it.
Oh, yeah.
And I mix that with a little Cimarron Docks barbecue rub, and it's kind of a 50-50, and I put it on pork. Where am I going with this? I use that dry rub on a pork loin, but as opposed to leaving it round, I butterflied it, you know, trimmed it out so it was flat and about 2 inches thick.
Let me guess.
But I overcooked the crap out of that thing. And it was, you know, I had my normal
Beep.
Idea of how much time it took on my pellet smoker to cook a pork loin.
Well,
I've
now
done
stop.
Dozens
now,
of them.
Now, hold on. Just, you're all wound up because you ruined a piece of meat.
Right.
I understand that's,
right.
that's sacrilege.
Right.
Were you having a beverage when you were doing this?
Well, you always have a beverage when you're cooking, especially on a pellet smoker, because it's set it and forget it.
Did you have
right?
maybe a couple and get a little daydreamy, take a nap in the chair?
Yeah. Well, maybe you know how I do this. Yeah. But but anyway, at the end of the day, I cooked this. I even had a thermometer in it with a, you know, I mean, come on. I did everything to not screw it up, and I still screwed it up.
Oh,
and
man.
I took it to 170.
You just
done,
need,
and it was just dry.
You just need
That's
one of those
all.
Little monkeys like they used to have on the back of the dashboard that was a cop watcher, you know. You need something, or a trunk monkey.
Right.
You need something,
yeah,
some kind of monkey to get you.
Yeah. But anyway, so I used the pellet grill, which should be automatic, easy to do.
Producer's
and,
reeling them in. You need a
happen.
Hook, Brian.
It didn't happen. It just didn't happen.
So the show is all about safe hunting, gun ownership, and I didn't mention turkey hunting.
Right.
Because turkey season's coming up, and I was talking with Merle at Allen Bob's, and if you didn't apply for a turkey license already for the spring hunt, it's too late. But there's probably extras, and you'll be able to get over the counters. Just go to the DNR in your state and check it out. You can probably buy over the counters. All states are different. Really also talking about safe gun ownership, and I think that has a lot to do with how you grew up, and some people are just never exposed to guns. I've told you funny stories about some of my wife's friends being afraid of guns and
sure.
panicking when they see one in my house, which is really easy to do.
Right.
But for a lot of us, we grew up in just regular America, and all dads had guns, and they took their sons hunting.
Right. I started at age 10. I remember vividly of being able to go the first time. When I hit 10, that was the goal, is you have to, and I had four older brothers, so they'd plowed that path for me, right? And they made all the rules. I just had to adhere to them. And my dad was like, when you turn 10, you get to go out in the deer woods with us, and you got a, you know, your permit because you were with your dad. You could hunt. And I had a single shot 20 gauge.
Perfect.
Yep. And you know, you had one shot.
You can only hurt one person if you have an accident. Well,
right. But the point was, I didn't. And you went with him, and I spent time with him, and it's memories I have to this day.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of a,
you
were no longer a baby. Now you were a young man.
Were you 10?
Yeah, I was 10.
And
but you had to be 10.
And shooting a 20 gauge at 10 is still a pretty good bang.
And we had to practice, right? You just didn't go out there. You had to shoot clay pigeons, and you had to shoot at stationary targets, because my birthday was in October. Deer season started in November, right? So when I turned 10, I got that single shot for a birthday present, and then here we go.
You
learn how to use it. So
I think I got my first gun at about 10 or 11, and it was a 22.
Yeah.
And that was nice to shoot. We'd go squirrel hunting with that and got proficient. And then just months later, when the fall came, he gave me a 12 gauge. Now I was like 11 when I got the 12 gauge. I do remember that, because he took us bird hunting immediately, and I was a little scrawny little 11-year-old with this great big 12-gauge Savage.
Hard for you to carry.
Well, yeah. It wasn't so bad carrying. It's when I took my first shot that I flew across the trail, just threw the gun over my head, and landed on my backside.
Yeah.
But my best gun history probably comes from boot camp and shooting M16s there and sniping with mortar rounds going off next to you. And Steve Prince is with us today. He's going to join us, and he's been through all that. He actually had people lobbing mortars at him in Iraq probably.
Yeah, temporarily. Yeah. I tell people I was in the military 25 years and 10 months and got shot at for about 5 minutes, but I remember those 5 minutes.
That's right. You hear a round go by your head, there's nothing quite like it.
I bet.
But then after that, I went in the Army Guard, where I carried an M60 as a 19 Delta, and that was really heavy, but that was a wonderful.
Fired from the open bolt position.
Yes, flame-throwing machine.
The pig.
Yes, and it was so hot you had to keep changing barrels, so you had an assistant with asbestos mitts, and you know, you'd shoot however many rounds, and it'd be like red hot. You'd have to whip the barrel off, put another barrel on, load it up, and go again. And that was really responsible.
That was a 60-millimeter?
It's 7.62,
okay.
But it's belt-fed.
Yeah.
It's a hammer.
It's
a certain part of your manhood develops when you shoot full auto for the first time. It's like, I don't know, you grow an inch, I think. Maybe that's what happened to me.
So. Yeah. It's 7 foot tall, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that thing, we would set up ambushes like 5,000 yards away.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that far.
Okay. Yeah, 500 yards.
Well, you shoot 700-800 yards without sights, because every
fifth round
is a tracer. So you just walk them in and you just keep lighting it up.
It's just like a laser.
You're just having a ball.
And wow. the sound of that brass coming off and the smell, there's nothing like it.
Well, here's a little, I know you guys appreciate your beer trivia. In Vietnam, they didn't have feed trays, so they took Budweiser cans and made them into feed trays.
There you go.
That's where the feed tray came from.
Oh, perfect. They had to innovate.
Coming up next, we're going to talk with our Goomba from the East Coast, who, if you've not listened before, he has a tremendous amount of experience with firearms and safety. So it's Big Paulie. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fool him good and finally get a shot. Well, he gobbled his head off on the roost. I was just about to cook his goose. He was coming in, then it's like he hit.